Welcome to Cinema Vino. This is episode 2 of season 2. Woo! And this is episode 14 of 15 recorded.
Man, Todd, release that lost episode. It's fucking golden. And I talk a lot.
Yeah, Travis talks about some great stuff. It's essentially a TED Talk by Travis. It is...
Oh my God, we should do that.
It is what... It's what drama teachers would call a humorous monologue. But tonight we're going to drink a little bubbly because the theme here is going to be spring cleaning. Basically, I'm getting stuff out of my Joanne and I's wine cabinet that needs to be consumed immediately or it will lose its luster. So cleaning out the wine cabinet, spring cleaning, yada yada. So, but tonight we're going to discuss what famous classic movie have we seen or have we not seen that everybody else has seen? That you know, people would automatically assume that you've seen.
Yeah,
everybody's got those movies where it's like everybody talks about them, quotes them, and then it's like you've never seen them before and you can't participate, but you act like you've seen it.
Oh,
or you know, whatevs. So Tay, what's an example for you?
The first one, Citizen Kane.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I have seen enough of it, bits and pieces of it. I know all the quotes, but I've never seen it from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know what happens. I know everything, mm-hmm. and it's a great cinematic masterpiece, mm-hmm. but I've never seen it all the way through.
I don't know that you're missing a lot, really.
Yeah.
I've seen it once, maybe twice. I watched one of it in like the first time in film school. I was like, oh, I see. It seemed like a really slow Godfather to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same, like, not rags to riches, but...
That's basically
kind of
what it
was. The story. Like, I don't remember if he started in rags. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just remember him clapping very hard in a gif. often. And Rosebud.
Yes. It was very influential. I mean, technically, we do entire film school semesters breaking down the ways that it, like, added new things to film. It is not my favorite movie. I mean, I certainly can appreciate what it's done.
Right.
I mean, you wouldn't have modern movies or TV shows without it.
Am I wrong in that almost It's a Wonderful Life is almost... It's not the same, but it follows, like, the rise or the full life of somebody, like mm-hmm. George Bailey and...
That's a good comparison, yeah.
Citizen Kane.
George Bailey!
I mean, that it has the same... It has the same feel. I don't know what year they both came out. But.
It's a Wonderful Life is a little bit after that, and mm-hmm. It's a Wonderful Life has a little more fantasy aspect to it.
Well, yes.
It's a little more out there than Citizen Kane, which Citizen Kane is the first, like, non-linear... I mean, biopic, I mean, it's a biopic, not directly, because it, you know, it changes William Randolph Hearst into Charles Foster Kane, so it's a little different than... It basically tweaks the name. And so, you know, it was close enough to William Randolph Hearst, who was a real-life publishing magnate, that he did a lot to block it from being released.
Hmm.
Wow.
But, yeah. So, it's one of those movies, it's not my top movie, but
yeah.
I recognize the craft of it.
Well, and I think that's the thing, is like, I think people, and it kind of goes back to like, it was just, people are like, oh, you haven't seen it? You have to see it? I'm like, look. I mean, if Travis just said, like, you're not missing much. Like, look, I kind of already, I've seen all the iconic scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I know the premise. I know everything. I was like, so, and I know, and I do know
that about the goddamn sled.
But I know it
spoiler
didn't.
Alert.
Well, mainly from The Simpsons. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was still like, man, like, it just never jumped out at me to watch.
What was amazing about that movie to me is that, I mean, it's the most influential movie ever made because it was like, for a million different reasons, but that. Orson Welles was 25 when he wrote and directed it.
I didn't know that at all.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote?
Wrote and directed it. Mm-hmm. He co-wrote it. That's a huge debate amongst film scholars now because the guy he co-wrote it with, and it's like, I can't remember the guy's name, shows you how the guy lost the battle, but about who wrote more of it. But,
oh, wow.
Yeah, he was...
I didn't know that at all.
He was 25 when he wrote it.
25-year-old Unicron from Transformers the movie made a... Made a little film called Citizen Kane back in the day. That's good to know.
Yes. It made Citizen Kane and Transformers.
Yeah.
That's quite the...
Transformers the movie.
Transformers the movie.
No Shia goddamn Booth in this thing. Just Peter goddamn Cullen and Hot Rod and Bumblebee.
And Peter goddamn Gabriel.
And also, it was his last movie.
Peter Gabriel?
No, it was Fuck Nugget Ass Cheese. What's his name? Citizen Kane. Walter Matthau. What's his
name? Did you say Fuck Nuggets Ass and Cheese?
Walter Matthau. I said Matthau. Fuck Nugget Ass.
Orson Welles. It was Orson Welles' last movie was Transformers.
This has to be a first of somebody who's confused Walter Matthau and Orson Welles. This has to be.
No, I'm just. It's just spoken word. I was just spitting out what was in my head until I got the word I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good wine.
Oh, I miss Walter Matthau. Anyway,
he ain't dead.
So
he just went home.
Is he not IRB?
He's dead.
Yes. Yeah, I was like, I'm pretty sure he's RIP.
He has
like,
left the earth.
Conventionally, yeah. To the people who are not in the know, yes, he's dead. I did quotes right there. But to us in the Illuminati, in the Masons Guild, mm-hmm. He just went home.
Yeah. This was Travis Budd's last broadcast. He said, you know, he's never heard from again.
Travis is going off to make
Grumpiest
Old Men 3. It's like he's
you show me with a whole bunch of like old dudes running around trying to get Poon where that's not a good movie, and I will show you my fist.
Oh, that's extreme.
Okay, so
the second Cocoon movie.
That's still great.
That was
Courtney Cox. Get out of my fucking face.
Was Gutenberg in that one?
Fuck yes.
That's how you know a sequel's gone off the rails when Gutenberg's not in it anymore.
Again, Simpsons. Who makes Steve Gutenberg a star?
God. Todd, is there a movie that you haven't seen that you want to that everybody else has seen?
There's quite a few movies. I mean, it's. I have to dig a little deeper on a dive to find stuff that people haven't seen. It's, you know, like I've never seen Kramer versus Kramer.
Hmm. Oh. Yeah,
it's interesting. It's like thinking about like the acclaimed movies. I've never seen Terms of Endearment.
Hmm.
I mean, again,
On Golden Pond.
I've never seen On Golden Pond. I've never seen that. So it won a whole like shit pot full of Oscars, but I've never seen it before. So there's a few movies that have never been like on my need to watch list. I've never seen the movie Platoon.
Oh, Vietnam, really? I've that never, surprises me.
I it's still like, haven't seen Apocalypse Now, Todd. Todd that's was very fault. Fond back in the day of being like, Travis, you should watch this movie. And then I would get over there and we would start drinking. And then he would be like, yeah, I'm pretty tired. I think I'm going to go to bed now. I'm like, Todd, all right, sweet. Well, I was into this movie. Are we ever going to finish it? And he was like, yeah, sometime. I had to watch Plan 9 from Outer Space. No, Ed Wood. I had to finish Ed Wood on my own at some point. And Apocalypse Now, I still haven't gotten back to.
We need to
Martin watch Sheen is still in that freaking hotel, sweating his ass off with that fan on high.
Saigon.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
So I have never seen Lawrence of Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Wow. That's actually a really... that's one of the ones I think you should see.
Yes.
I really think you should see that
one. That's a must see.
I've also never seen... and I was told to check these out. Yojimbo and the Seven Samurai, or the Magnificent Seven, and Akira Kurosawa actually worked with one of the dudes that did Godzilla. Like within the same year or two, his Seven Samurai came out, but Akira Kurosawa was very popular, and he was with Eiji Tsuburaya. I don't know how to explain or how to pronounce things. It's fucking weird. But they were... Seven Samurai and Godzilla were homeboys, long story short. The people that worked on those movies. But, yeah, I haven't seen that. Yeah, those are the only ones I can think of off the top of my head. And I had never seen Glengarry Glen Ross until, Todd, you showed it to me. Also... Lion in Winter, and that's I think my favorite movie that you've showed me.
I don't think I've seen that one either. I'm not sure.
That's I think we talked about it on an episode or two ago with Peter O'Toole and Catherine Hepburn.
Yes, Anthony Hopkins. Yes.
Who are the other two brothers?
I can't remember their names. One of the guys was the he played the king in Excalibur.
Timothy Dalton was the king of France king or something or something.
It's King Philip.
Yeah. It's set up, it's basically like a play and it's people in a room talking.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, some other shit going on, but it's really kind of fucking cool. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Best dialogue, I think, in a movie ever. I think that's the best dialogue. And the best, I mean, Peter O'Toole is one of my favorite actors. And that's, to me, his best performance.
Think of all the characters in Game of Thrones, like, in a room or stuck in a castle together, like four rooms or some shit.
Talking.
Like, going to room, trying to make alliances and shit like that. And they both fucking love and fucking hate each other. And they say it within the same paragraph of sentences to each other. Mm-hmm. They're like, why did you do this thing to me? He was like, because I fucking hate you more than anybody hates you on this world. And I was like, but why did you do this other thing? He was like, because I also love you. Or some crazy bullshit. It's like,
interesting.
It's a weird up and down deal, but it's backed by that weird, not sword and sorcery, but the medieval time setting and shit like that. So, it's badass. So
when did that come out?
68.
And then what was Citizen Kane?
41.
Yeah, so see, like, for me, when you, like, Citizen Kane being that old is still, like, I mean, I'm sure any introductory to film class would say, this is on the list, you know?
Yeah.
That and Gordy. But it was like, you know, you have to watch this. And it was so,
you're right? Excuse me.
You're right?
Doorknob.
Yeah. I didn't know that it was that late. I thought it would have been an earlier film, the Lion and the
Lion of Winter.
Lion and Winter.
Yeah.
We're gonna take a brief break and then we're gonna come back with some more Cinema Vino. I'm gonna get some more vino. To me, Citizen Kane kind of falls. It's like how they had a debate at one point. They said Oprah Winfrey or some crap, but they tried to figure out who was the most influential person in the 20th century.
Beyonce.
And to me, it was no debate that Elvis Presley was like, love him or hate him, was the most influential person to come in the 21st century in terms of pop culture. It's like you could divide pop culture before him and after him in terms of what he did for music, for movies.
I see that. Yeah, fair enough.
For
yeah.
American culture, for the way we dress. I mean, everything. It's like...
music in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the sheer number of people who looked at him on Ed Sullivan and said, I'm going to be a musician, including all the Beatles.
Bob Dylan, for sure.
Paul Simon.
How many... Yeah, actually, you two are the perfect two to ask this. How many albums, studio albums, did the Beatles have?
Like, it gets a little to where it's like, what release? The year?
Like the actual British albums?
Yeah, British albums?
Yeah,
or?
Well, I mean, hold on, I don't know. Albums in all, not including like anthologies and shit like that. Like studio albums with new music, I don't know, maybe even live shit.
I'm counting. 12.
I was going to say 13 off the top of my head.
True studio, albums, 12.
Yeah.
What, is one of those like a double album?
The White Album. Yeah.
Okay, so 13... Disc sides, whatever, all right. So 13 studio, give or take. How many did Elvis do?
Didn't he have a shit ton?
But he was much more.
But even his, I mean,
he was a commercial. He was just a fucking factory.
He was a performer. He did not. And Elvis never wrote none of music. Yeah. He never wrote anything.
All right.
But his showcase was as a performer.
Yeah.
Because I know somebody was saying, like, who had more number ones, Elvis or the Beatles? Yeah. And thinking that, like, it takes four Beatles, it takes one, you know, Elvis.
But I will say, it's like exactly what Todd was saying. It's like he was the guy that, I know we're kind of sidetracking, but it's like he, I think when people saw him, saw what he was doing, it was so different at the time that people were just like, holy crap. Like, and then thus become this whole wave of things in the 60s.
I mean, it's like John Lennon said, you know, it's when he saw... You know, Elvis on Ed Sullivan. He's like, I want a guitar. That's what I want to do. So to me, that's why Elvis is like the most influential person, pop culture wise. Movie wise, the most influential movie is Citizen Kane. And again, it's not the one that I enjoy the most, but it's.
Of the 20th century?
It's easier for me to admire than it is to enjoy. But it's like, you could divide movies into before Citizen Kane and after it.
Let me ask you one question. Have you seen Leprechaun or Ghoulies?
Wait, which Leprechaun?
I've seen.
In the Hood.
Oh, is that the one with Jennifer Aniston?
I say,
and Ice-T. No, Aniston was in one.
Was Aniston in one? I thought she was in two.
Guys, we gotta end this bit right here. I don't know.
Travis hasn't pulled his phone out yet.
Gentle listeners, my favorite thing about this podcast are the weird ass tangents that we get on that are not part of the actual podcast, and I just like to dig in there and I just like to wallow around like a pig.
I'm gonna add one more. I haven't seen Leprechaun. And I was like, I'm just gonna be honest with you. Yeah, I'm gonna shoot straight. Leprechaun.
Mm-hmm. I've
seen Travis.
It. Yeah.
You've been like...
It's a monster movie.
You've been a Leprechaun fan since like day one, since I've known you.
Sorry.
I'm the Leprechaun.
I'm a Leprechaun. I thought you were a Leprechaun fan, man.
I mean, I like the concept of like short Warwick Davis like fucks up assholes. That's...
I don't even know you anymore, man.
Mm-hmm. I apologize.
Yeah. I'm kind of heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, any others from a weird genre movie that you've never seen?
I mean, there's quite a few that it's like, I've never seen the movie Oliver, or the musical.
Oh. Yeah, I mean...
Is that the Please, Sir, May I Have Some More?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've never seen The Fiddler on the Roof.
I've seen that once. That was enough. That was enough times for me.
I mean, like... When you asked the question, I thought of like iconic movies. Mm-hmm. It was like, so like, I didn't really, I mean, yeah, I had not seen a lot of movies, but.
Everybody seen Schindler's List?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Joanna has not seen that. Yes. That's on our list of movies. It's a difficult movie. It's a great movie. That's a difficult movie to like pitch for an evening of like, let's watch a movie.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me. Oh, Schindler's List, honey.
Yeah. Ooh.
Do you want to look at a film about one of the greatest atrocities of mankind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I will say that it's one of those films that I watched, and as a professor was talking to me, it's about like something that when I first saw it, I never picked up on it, but it was like to see the colors, spoiler alert, like the colors, I'm like, oh.
It's like Sin City.
The candle. And that, I was like, oh. Like, it was so cool. I'm like, you know what this signifies, right? And I was like, I had no idea. I just thought it was a badass film.
It signify?
Oh, just the light. Yeah, just the light and the looking of like the future. Isn't that what it was supposed to be? It's like and then the red dress was just to show the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
to show the innocence.
It's like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, to show the timeline there. And you like see it later. You're like, oh, well, that's fucked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've never seen Romancing the Stone.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm.
I watched the shit out of that back in the day. I've only seen Jewel of the Nile, like I think once. My favorite part was where they find the actual stone in the movie. And a lot of the movie went over my head because I was a tiny tot.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's the thing, too. I think I would enjoy these movies a lot more now. Mm-hmm. But when I was younger, I was like, oh, you gotta watch this, this, and this. And it's like, man, I ain't got time for that shit. Lawrence of Arabia? I was like 3 VHSs.
Yeah.
I was just like, I ain't got time for that shit. Mm-hmm. I was like, God,
but what's
damn.
Cool, though, watching them now, though, is because you are different when you watch the film. Like, you watch it in high school, you haven't had the experiences you've had now when you're in your mid-30s. And then if you go back and watch something again, you like, you know, with all your new experiences or something, you view it through a different lens or view it with a better understanding of like the source material.
Yeah.
And you get like a whole like another level of enjoyment of it. You're like, holy shit. All of those like dick and fart jokes went over my head when I was a youngster. The ones that they throw in for the adults that take their kids to go see movies. And the adults are laughing, and the kids are like, I don't know what mom and dad are laughing at. And then you get to see them again, and you're like, shit.
Mm-hmm.
You just enjoy that movie on another level.
Yeah.
At a different age.
Yes. To me, Blazing Saddles, as inappropriate as it was, was full of those movies where it's like, or full of those jokes where it's like watching them as a kid, I didn't get them.
Yeah.
You know, they're like the obvious, like the guys farting around the campfire was fucking hilarious. But going back and looking at some of the other jokes in the movie, it's like that I didn't realize why they were funny. And then you go back later and you watch them. It's like, you can't.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here. I'm just throwing this out. Is it true that Mel Brooks wrote half the jokes and then Richard Pryor wrote the other half? And then they would say, they would come to each other and be like, hey, is this okay? He's like, oh, you can do worse, man. Or I mean, like, you can go better. It was like, you're mm-hmm. go better. It was like,
you can do better.
Go yeah, further. It's like, yeah, like you can keep going.
My understanding was that they had a writer's room and they brought Richard Pryor into that.
Yeah.
Thinking that he was going to play the sheriff. And no insurance company, given his history of issues with drugs and personal issues, no insurance company would insure him to be in the movie.
Oh, that would have been great if Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder again. Yeah. Not to disparage Cleavon Little.
No, he was great, but that's who they intended to be in there. But the insurance company's like, we're not going to pay for him.
See, that I didn't know. I just heard that Richard Pryor was like kind of one of the writers,
and they were giving him the opportunity to write for the movie to write his part.
Yeah.
And to submit jokes. To,
okay.
But he couldn't be in it. And so I said, well, you can still write.
Yeah.
And so, that is another excellent candidate for my proposed podcast, Ebony and Ivory. Gene Wilder and...
there has to be a better name Richard for that. Pryor. There has to be a better name for that. Than
Ebony and Ivory?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's fucking dope as shit. We sang 8 seconds of Ebony and Ivory?
Go ahead.
Ebony and Ivory. That was it.
Yeah. Incidentally, I don't know what it was about Paul McCartney. He brought out the worst in every duet partner. Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, anybody that he did a formal duet with outside of the Beatles was just doo doo pie. And I love Paul McCartney. I love the Beatles.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the boy's mind with Michael Jackson. That's just straight up doo doo pie.
Travis, before we end things, I have to ask. We talked about the leprechaun.
Boxers.
I remember you years and years ago. What was one of the worst horror movies? Was it The Howling?
7. I have mentioned it on this podcast several times.
Mean Guns.
Also, what? You shut your mouth with Mean Guns. And then Frankenweenie, the original one with Lily Tomlin. I have never actually seen that, but a friend of mine was like, oh my God, the worst thing I've ever seen is Frankenweenie. And I saw like the trailer. I was like, you right.
Okay.
I've never seen 9 to 5 with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. I've never seen that.
What?
And Dabney Coleman. Oh. Dabney Coleman's a national treasure.
Oh yes. He's one of those guys that you've seen in everything with a mustache.
Oh.
But,
I'll push Danny Trejo in the mud. Give Dabney Coleman an Oscar.
All right. I would like to see you tell Danny Trejo that you're going to push him in the mud and then see how well that goes for you. I'm done with the podcast. Get on my headphones. I'm out of here. Oh.
Travis has walked away.
Watch the wine, man.
Travis has left the conversation. Yeah.
But
I stand by what I said, though. Give Dabney Coleman an Oscar.
Now, that would be a battle royale.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a fight to the...
that would be...
Travis has... He's walked kind of far away.
Yeah, he's gone.
I think he actually did leave.
But that would be mustache versus mustache. That would be the battle of the mustaches.
That would be good.
We're going to take a brief break.
I hear him getting into things.
Like, I think he's getting into my sock drawer. No, he's not wearing any shoes.
Oh, he answered the door.
Travis Budd has entered the conversation.
Getting in your sock drawer?
Player two. In your wife. Enter.
I mean, wait, no, your wife's home.
Mm-hmm. That's what he meant to say.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Anyway.
This has been another episode of Cinema Vino, and we love you, and we care for you.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, I did want to ask one more question. Todd, if I could read some of the reviews that the movies that I have not seen,
mm-hmm.
what website could I go to see those reviews?
You want to go to moviereviews.us.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Todd. I couldn't hear you over Taylor's gross incompetence. What was that again?
That's moviereviews.us. And you can follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Todd Wofford Movies.
And one more. Travis, if I wanted a delicious late night snack that was easy to cook, what would I go for?
Cook? I don't know. You're fucked. But I enjoy Arby's from time to time.
What if I wanted to microwave something?
Oh, I would add a little water to some easy mac and cheese, maybe cut up some wieners with some scissors. And then just have you a dab-a-do time.
My night is set.
Cinema Vino is brought to you by Easy Mac and Cheese. And cut up wieners.
Okay. Guys, it's been a good one.
Anyway, hashtag Lorena Bobbitt. So
that's all right. Well, now I'm not hungry anymore. I'm starving.
Oh, mercy.
We're going to remind you once again that Rubbin's racing and turn around and don't drown. Ring-a-ding-ding.
Ring-ring-ding-dong. Ring-a-ding-ding-ding-dong. 8 seconds.
That's, yeah. 8 seconds is a long time, man. Mm-hmm. Shit.
25 times.